Thought for today.
The more intense you are on your spiritual journey, the easier it is to travel on. The more intense you are on your spiritual journey, the easier it is to travel on it. The more intense you are on your spiritual journey, the easier it is to travel on. Whew. Who needs all that intenseness, huh? Who needs that drive? Who needs that sort of an approach to their spiritual journey? You do. I do. We all do. We've been talking about the Pat Pirelli training program here and how he trains his horses. And like any genius, like any competent, capable, responsible, talented, trained person, he makes it look easy. He makes what he does with the horses look easy. He shakes a rope and the horse backs up. He brings the rope forward, the horse comes forward. He throws invisible water off his fingertips at the horse and the horse backs up. And he smiles at the horse and says, come on, and the horse comes to him. He trains his people to ride on their horses without a saddle or without a bridle. It looks so easy. But he has intensely trained himself to believe in himself that what he chooses to do works. Okay. The more intense you are on your spiritual path, the easier it is to take that journey. Now, what does the word intense mean? Like with all of our might, all of our enthusiasm, all of our joy. Have you ever watched a little child learning to play a game? He gives it its full attention. He is very intensive. He doesn't know what's going on around him. He doesn't know other people around him. He's paying attention to that game. Or have you ever watched him as he takes his little car and he drives it through his sandbox, through invisible roads, by invisible people, by invisible stores and houses, into an invisible garage? He is right there doing it. He is right there doing it. He is right there doing it. Now you say, oh, that seems very natural. No. That is very real. The natural thing we think is to pay attention to the fact that there is no garage, there are no people, there are no houses. The natural thing is to think that it is not there. But his intention, his intensity, his concentration is right on what he is doing so completely and so beautifully that he does it wonderfully. He doesn't say, I am going to my play box, to my sandbox, to play with my cars, and to go by the little city that I have there. It happens the instant he is there. When he is in his sandbox, he is in whatever world he has there. It may be a world by the lake, maybe the world by houses and people and cars and trees. It may be a world of horses. He takes his little horse and the horse jumps over the moon. But it's concentration. It's concentration of love. And because of his concentration of love, he does a perfect job. Well, Pat Pirelli, in training his horses, he can go to any horse, and any horse will do exactly what he wants him to do within a very short time, a matter of minutes. Not because Pat Pirelli trains the horse, but Pat Pirelli trains himself. He goes to a horse that is difficult, and so he plays the friendly game with the horse. He becomes friendly to the horse. He becomes friendly to himself. And he feels harmonious with the horse. There are people who play with pit vipers and rattlesnakes and other poisonous reptiles. They go in there with a peaceful attitude in their consciousness. They go in there that the snakes are willing and ready to have them deal with them. They can have people looking through a glass window watching what they're doing. They can have people nearby watching what they're doing. And they are undisturbed because they know what they're doing. They are one with the creature they're working with. Intense? Yes, very much intense. What does intense mean? Concentrated, passionate, extreme, severe, strong, powerful, forceful, deep, sincere, jealous, zealous, tremendous, fervent, avid. A lot of great words, aren't they? Are they all bad words? Intense! Concentrated? If you're going to brush your teeth, you go to the bathroom, you take out your toothbrush, put toothpaste in it, and then you put it inside your mouth and you brush your teeth. And you're visualizing the toothbrush in your mouth going up and down along your teeth and in and out and taking out all the food particles and brushing it really thoroughly, getting rid of the plaque, all of the elements there that you want to change. You're concentrated on it. You might say, oh, I'm listening to music while I'm doing that, so I'm not concentrating. Oh, I'm thinking about what I'm going to fix for breakfast. I'm like, yes, you are. You are concentrated. Every single ounce of your nerve system is turned toward brushing your teeth and doing it with a beautiful job. You're zealous about it. You're careful about it. You're intense about it. Oh, come on, Herb, now, I am not. Yes, you are. I'm doing other things at the same time. Yes, that's true. You can do many things apparently at the same time, but you give your attention to your teeth. Then you give your attention to opening the cabinet door. You give your attention to the teeth, then you give your attention to turning the water on. You give your attention to your teeth, and then you give your attention to bringing the towel over to the sink so that you can wipe off the toothbrush after you rinse it out. Each thing takes its attention. But with each thing, you come back to your teeth. Now, when you reach for the towel, you sometimes cease brushing your teeth for a minute, and you take the towel and you put it over. When you open the cabinet door, you stop brushing your teeth and open the cabinet door. When you do anything, you stop doing what you're doing to do something else. This is the road that you're playing right now. You're playing the role of walking your spiritual path as a spiritual master, looking to find your divine inner self. And it's not hard to find. It's there just thundering away inside you saying, let me out, let me free, let me show you what I can be. And you don't do it. You want to go to the bathroom. You want to go to bed. You want to read a book. You want to do many, many, many things. And then you wonder why going into your inner self and becoming acquainted with that divine being that you are inside, it takes so long. Well, you've got so many other interests. You stop brushing your teeth when you open the cabinet door. You stop brushing your teeth when you reach for the towel. You stop brushing your teeth. You're brushing your teeth. But you're making the task long and arduous. Your concentration is scattered. And so therefore, your goal is scattered of brushing your teeth. Oh, you may brush your teeth during your 2-minute period and reach for the towel and open the cabinet door and flush the toilet and do everything else in the sun. But you're not giving 2 minutes to brushing your teeth. You're giving maybe 30 seconds to brushing your teeth. 1/2 of 1 minute. Because you're doing all these other things. And do you think your teeth are brushed well? I brushed my teeth this morning. I gave them the 2 minutes. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You lied. You cheated. You did a lot of other things while you should have been brushing your teeth. You're sitting on the toilet. You have to go to the toilet. And you have to make a bowel movement that's a little stiff, a little difficult. So you give your full attention to it. You don't take out a book and start reading. You don't take out your harmonica and start playing it. You don't start talking with other people. Excuse me, I'm in the bathroom. Well, can't you do two things at once? Yes, but I don't want to. Please let me make my movement here and then I'll get with you. You want to give your full attention to it because you want it to be over with. You want to move that out of your system. You want to clean yourself out. And then you want to wipe yourself off so that you're fresh and nice. But if you're rushed, if the baby falls down in the other room and you're in the middle of doing your duty, you dash out there. And you didn't finish your job. You come back. You can't do it because you have been diverted. You've taken your attention away. You no longer have to go. Very fundamental type of topic, wasn't it? But it's real for everybody. If you can give a few minutes to your bowel movement, if you can give a few minutes, hopefully, to brushing your teeth, if you can give a few minutes to the most casual thing that you do each day as you get up to get ready to go on your way, if you can give a few minutes to that, why not just take a few minutes, just a few minutes, of absolute 100% concentrated, passionate, extreme, severe, strong, powerful, forceful, deep, sincere, zealous, tremendous, fervent, avid attention to listening within. Just stop and say, I'm going to give my full attention to listening within, just as though I'm going to go to the toilet, just as though I'm going to brush my teeth. I give my full attention to it. Now, we sit down at the table and eat our meal. And we chit-chat, chit-chat, chit-chat. We are yakking away. Put something good on the table, some really delicious food. There is no conversation. There is enjoying that food. 100% concentration on enjoying that food. Hey, I was asking you something. Just a minute. I'm enjoying this. Well, can't you do two things at once? Yes. But this is so delicious. I have to give it all of my taste buds. I have to give it all of my attention. And we eat with intention, with joy, with passion, with concentration. And then after we finished eating and go on to the simple things like celery or something else like that that doesn't turn us on as much, then we can talk. Then we can do things. But think about it. Have you given the kind of concentration you give to a good meal to your meditation? Have you given the kind of concentration you give to a good bowel movement to your inner self, to listening within? And the answer has to be no. Can you do it? Oh, yes. But it's a matter of training. Pat Pirelli doesn't tell the horses to walk around it, go sideways and back up just by wanting it so. This is what he is 100% in his consciousness. And he communicates that to his horses. He communicates that in ways that people can understand. But he doesn't need a line. He doesn't need a halter. He doesn't need... Did you see any treats being given to those horses? Any sugar or any carrots? Not one single thing except the friendly game. Touching the horse with love, with compassion, with joy. Now, that's concentration. He was demonstrating how you can train horses to do that too, but it takes concentration. He took the line and had his wife hold the line and nod her head when she felt the line was communicating with her. And with the slightest touch of the line, he sent a vibration back to her. And he explained, but not very completely, but he explained, when a horse has a fly settled on his hindquarters, he can wiggle his hindquarters to chase the fly away, or he can take his tail and flash it across the area where the fly is. And the tail flashes across various parts of the hindquarter when the fly is right there. And he can shimmy his flesh in a very beautiful, simple way and make all of the flies that might be landing there not there. But did you notice? There was not one fly around him as he was training these horses. Did he put fly spray on them? I doubt it. Did he have them so enraptured with love that no fly thought of coming there? That's what he did. He was so one with his creation that nothing untoward could come into his experience that he didn't want. You can do that too. The more intense you are on your spiritual journey, the easier it is to travel it. Now, the more one-pointed you do it, the easier it is to do it. Mother says, Johnny, will you go to the store and get a loaf of bread, please? Yes, sure, Mom. So he heads out the door. His friends say, Johnny, come on, let's play ball. I'm running an errand. Goes down the street and his girlfriend's standing there. And, oh, hi, Sally, how are you? She's just fine. What are you doing, Johnny? Oh, I'm on this way to get this loaf of bread for my mother. I'll talk to you later. See, he was reminded to get back on his seriousness, on his concentration on what he was doing. And then he goes to the store and he stands in the store waiting in line to receive the bread. And what happens? He sees the candy counter. And he looks in the window of the candy counter. And he knows that he can buy a loaf of bread for a dollar, or he can buy a loaf of bread for 50 cents, a smaller loaf, you know. And his mother didn't say what size loaf. She just gave him a dollar and said, go buy some bread. Well, he thinks, if I spend 50 cents, I can buy some candy. And then he thinks, no, mother believes in me. She sent me to the store to buy a loaf of bread. I'm going to buy a loaf of bread. And he comes home with a dollar loaf of bread. And his mother says, thank you. The mother doesn't say, thank you for not going to play ball with your friends while you're on the way to get the bread. Thank you for not dawdling your time with your girlfriend on the street corner while you're going for a loaf of bread. Thank you for not buying a smaller loaf of bread and spending the money on candy. The mother taught the youngster to be dedicated, diligent, to be disciplined, to be determined to accomplish whatever he agreed to do. Now, you have come here to the monastery, and you have agreed to give me 100% of your attention to walking the spiritual path. You have agreed to give me 100% of your attention to doing this program, and you haven't done it. I ask you to sit in meditation, and what do you think about? You think about the tasks that lie before you. You think about going over and picking up the kittens, You think about going over and working on the horses later in the afternoon. You think about putting in the pond in the back here. You think about doing the folding or the stapling or the preparation of the gist. You think about a telephone call you're going to make to your mother or your sister or somebody. You think, you see, and you think you're on your spiritual path. You're on your human path and doing a nice job of it. You're a wonderful human being, but you're not walking your divine path. It's not a matter that you must walk your divine path 100% of the time, which would be really marvelous, very lovely. I would delight if you chose to do that, but I know better. So, if I can have just 10 minutes of the day where you 100% concentrate on your spiritual inner self, listen to the divine within you, let go of those thoughts that come and say, well, you better buy a loaf of bread, or you better go to the neighbors and get the eggs, or you better go water your garden, or why is it the tomatoes in the garden don't taste so good? Do the other things not taste good either? Is there some soil back there that has been, they've poured oil in it and they have dumped other type of sediments behind the garage, chemicals from their printing equipment, and that got into the plants? The plants still grew, but they had the taste of this chemical stuff in it. Well, see, all these thoughts go through your mind. They're worthy thoughts for your human life. But when you walk your spiritual path, take your 10 minutes, half hour, whatever you can handle, and keep your thought concentrated. I like me, I like me, I like me. And listen within, I like me. And pretty soon, you'll have all sorts of reasons for liking yourself. I am peace. I am joy. I am power. I am abundance. I am delight. They're not things that have physical words to describe them. They're not things like, I am sitting at the swimming pool, dangling my feet in the warm water and thinking to myself, this is heaven. I'm standing under the shower and the warm water is cascading down over my body and I feel just like a wonderful flower bursting forth with beautiful scent and beautiful beingness. What do you do? Where do you concentrate? The more intense you are on your spiritual path, the easier it is, because the little boy has no trouble seeing the little people that aren't there and seeing the cars and the streets and the houses and all the stores and things. He sees them. And he has no trouble at all transferring from that vision to the vision of going in the house and washing his hands and getting ready for supper. He has no trouble with that. We have been trained out of those things. Now let's train ourselves back into it. We train ourselves back into it by whatever we are doing, we give 100% of our attention to it. If we are walking, give your attention to it. If you're talking, give your attention to it. Don't be thinking off of other things or how boring this is. Of course it's a boring conversation. You're not there. You're only half there, if that much. You would have a glorious conversation anytime you ever had a conversation if you put yourself 100% into it. You'd have a glorious meditation if you put yourself 100% into it. You'd have a glorious introspection. It would not be boring in the slightest if you put yourself 100% there. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to put yourself 100% just for 10 minutes on your spiritual path? Well, I've come to the monastery to give a full time. That's good. Start with 10 minutes. Give me just 10 minutes and the rest will come. 10 dedicated minutes to your inner self, to listening to that inner self and saying, I like it. Why do we like statements that are so simple? A statement like, I like me. Statement, I am God. Statement, I am the pure white light. Any of these, why do we like that? It's so simple. And you see, it's beyond our understanding. And we like it because it is something that seems to be something very wonderful and real for us. What are we going to do about it? How are you going to handle these things? How are you going to open your eyes to the intenseness that it takes to walk your spiritual path? Can you give yourself a concentrated attention? Can you give concentrated attention? And you're driving your car. You give concentrated attention to that. Oh, no, I'm doing all sorts of things. You are not. You think you're doing other things, but you're not. You're doing other things very poorly, but you're driving well. Or you're driving very poorly, and you're doing other things well. Did you ever find yourself drifting off the road while you're wide awake and driving and thinking of a lot of things? Did you ever notice how when you are driving along and you see something on the side of the road, like a bunch of horses dashing through the pasture, and your eyes go over to those horses, and of course you turn the wheel to go over to those horses too? Your intention and your attention goes wherever your thought is. It works that way. Are you willing to just give 10 minutes a day to listening to the divine within you? Concentrated, dedicated, diligent, self-disciplined, 10 minutes. I used to give you an illustration and say to you, okay, I want to teach you about concentration and how your concentration is really difficult to come by. Not that I don't teach you it's difficult, but take the head of a pin, remember? And a magnifying glass, the head of a stick pin. And then take a magnifying and count the number of little dots in the top of that pin, number of little pockmarks. And you can't do it. You can start counting, and you can figure out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and pretty soon you're thinking about the pin. You're thinking about how the pin was created. You're thinking about how the pin is sticking into a piece of cardboard in front of you or whatever. You're thinking about this magnifying glass. It came from your father. You're thinking about this magnifying glass. You borrowed it from somebody. It's got a crack in it, but still works as a magnifying glass. Your concentration on that pin lasts no more than 5 or 6 seconds, if that much. Your concentration does not exist because you have not trained it. Well, Pat Pirelli trained it. And when you walk on fire, you train it. But if for 1 minute, 1 second, you take your consciousness away from the fact that you're walking on the cool, wet moss or whatever you're calling it, boom, you're burned. Your concentration must be total. And it can be. The more intense you are on your spiritual journey, the easier it is to travel on. For years, for millennia, the shaman, the gurus, the priests, the ministers, the teachers have all tried to make the spiritual path a very esoteric, a very far out thing that is difficult. And you'll never touch it, maybe not even in this lifetime. The Hindus love that phrase, because they love reincarnation. Well, I tell you, they're all a bunch of liars, and we are too, when we say we can't do it. Because let me give you a little secret here that you may not have heard before. All time is now, right
now.
This is the only time that there is for you and for me. And it's up to us to give our undivided attention right now to whatever it is we think is important. So if you think that your inner path is important, give your undivided attention to it. Now, we'll talk about this more, and we'll discuss the inner path and the inner way more, and we won't spend so much time on how difficult it is to give the concentration. It's not difficult to walk the inner path. That's the easiest thing in the world. It's just difficult to give the concentration for it. It's difficult for the little boy to concentrate on his toys and on his imagination world. Not at all, because he's there. It's difficult for the sports car driver to stay concentrated on driving his car so that his car will make every move, every corner in perfect order. Not really. He's trained himself in that. It's difficult to walk on fire and not get burned. No. Not if you train yourself to be concentrated for that short period of time. But pick up a hot pan immediately after you walk across the fire and you burn yourself. Yeah. You're fantastic, all of you. You're ready to act upon these things, but it won't make any difference to you until you have learned to be intensive on your spiritual awareness. Get excited about it and give your 100% attention to it and watch the miracles happen. The more intense you are on your spiritual journey, the easier it is to travel on that spiritual journey. And so it is.